Is God's grace sufficient or not? If we look in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Either God's grace is sufficient or God's a liar. And we know God cannot lie. Praise God, his grace is sufficient. God so abundantly supplies us with sufficient grace that we have a place to stand and something great for which to live. Grace is not simply a one-time gift we receive. It's a state in which we live life. It's a continuing experience of God's salvation, an experience made possible by God's continuing grace. Salvation is never something we can lay claim to as a possession earned. It's always a gift received in grace. To forgive. If we look at Ephesians 1, verse 7, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. If we look at Romans 6, 14, for sin shall not have dominion or control over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15. What then we say? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, yea, are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Sin, debts, and trespasses. To get the job done, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which has bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet I not, but the grace of God which was in me. Power, which is fuel. Stamina. Stamina to finish the race. Perseverance. And if you look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. To get to heaven, let's look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's freely given. It's a gift from God. And it blows the theory of working your way to heaven completely out of the water. To meet all our needs. If we look at Corinthians 12, 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amazing, unmerited, in all that I need. So, is God's grace sufficient?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I don't think there's a doubt. There cannot be a doubt in anybody's mind that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Share a couple illustrations here. There was a young employee secretly misappropriated some money from the firm he worked at. And when this was discovered, the young man was told to report upstairs to the senior partner. And on the way up, the younger person just kept thinking, this is the end, man. I'm going to get fired, canned, and they might even prosecute me because I stole from the company. But upon his arrival in the office, the senior executive, the young man was questioned about the whole affair. And he was asked straight up, did you do it? Tell me about it. And the young person answered in the affirmative, said, yes, I did. He also feared legal action. Seemingly, his whole world had collapsed around him. The executive responded, I'm not going to press charges. And you can continue in your present responsibilities with the company. The employer concluded the conversation with the younger employee by saying, I think you might want to know, or you ought to know, however, that you're the second man in this firm who succumbed to temptation and was shown mercy. Said, I was the first. What you have done, I did. The mercy you are receiving, I received. It's only the grace of God that can keep us both. Amen. And this, we're going to go back for a lot of years. And I know, even if you're not a football fan, you've heard of football and all that. Well, one of the most prestigious college games is the Rose Bowl. It's always played out in Pasadena, California. And but on New Year's Day, 1929, so we're going way back, and Georgia Tech was playing the University of California in the Rose Bowl. In that game, a man named Roy Riegels recovered a fumble for California. Somehow he got confused, and he started running in the wrong direction. And so after about 65 yards, a fellow teammate of his, Benny Lamb, overtook him and tackled him just before he got to the end zone and almost scored a touchdown for the opposing team. They ended up going four downs and out, and they had to punt the ball. Well, Georgia Tech blocked the punt. And the ball went in the end zone and was recovered for a two-point safety, which ended up being the margin of victory in that game. That strange play came in the first half. And everyone was wondering, watching the game, said, what is Coach Nibbs Price going to do to this Benny Riegels in the second half? So the men filed off the field at halftime into the locker room. They sat down on the benches and on the floor, all but Riegels. He went over in the corner and sat down, put his blanket or whatever he had around him, and he sat there with his head in his hands and cried like a baby because of what he had done. So anyway, if you played football, you know the coach usually has a lot to say at halftime. You know, he tries to tweak. Hey, we need to get our defense in line. Hey, you guys were weak over here. Or, hey, the offense needs to hang on to the ball and quit fumbling it. You know, whatever the situation calls for. But coaches always have something to say at halftime. On this occasion, Coach Price was quiet. He didn't say anything. No doubt he was trying to decide what to do with Riegels. Then the timekeeper came in and said, hey, 3 minutes till game time. So the coach looked at the team and simply said, the same men that played the first half will start the second half. So all of the men got up and they went back out on the field. Except Regals. He's still sitting over there in the corner. He didn't budge. He didn't move. And the coach called to him again and said, hey, Regals, go on back. And Regals looked up. His cheeks were wet with a strong man's tears. The coach said, coach, I can't do this to save my life. I've ruined you, I've ruined the University of California, and I've ruined myself. I couldn't face that crowd in the stadium to save my life. The coach walked over, reached out and put his hand on Regal's shoulders and said, Roy, get up and go on back. The game's only half over. Roy Regals got up and he went on back. And if we could ask all those Tech players, they will tell you they never seen a young man play football as Roy Regals played the second half. We all, at times in our lives, take the ball and run in the wrong direction. We stumble and fall and so ashamed of ourselves that we never want to try again. And God comes to us and bends over us in the person of his son and says, get up and go back. Amen. The game's only half over. That is the gospel of the grace of Christ. It's the gospel of a second chance, of a third chance, and of a hundredth chance. So God's grace is sufficient. And it will always be there. So no matter how we fail or think we have failed, get up and go back in. God's grace is sufficient and will always be sufficient. So, all right. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we break off into our groups. Dear Lord, please bless us as we humbly bow before you in your house this evening. Please, again, watch over the many prayer requests that have already been mentioned. Watch over all of us, sir. Watch over all the members of this congregation. And let us never forget, the game is only half over. Get up and go back. Because God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace will always be there for us. We humbly ask all this in your precious name. Yes. Amen.